Hi, I am Stefan Aitken, SharePoint MVP. The goal of this video is to show you how you can leverage OData from within SharePoint using the built-in data factory. For that, I'll show you two demos. One demo showing how you can create an advanced search on user profiles, and another demo, which is a kind of social web part that enables you to, or your, let's say, customers to interact with their colleagues. The source code is available on my blog at silverit.com. Before going really in the demo itself, let me give you a few details about the context. So I had to implement that kind of web service in a real world project because the business scenario required me to provide to have several components reacting differently according to some values in the user profile. And so we needed something fast, and the best way I found to make something fast was actually to make a OData service that is based on the cache, let's say cache store. So instead of targeting directly the user profiles, so like here, we are actually consuming the user profile from the cache itself, which is of course much faster. And combining the cache with OData can really give great results, because OData is, let's say, a query engine. It's a protocol, but you can benefit from a powerful query engine, and certainly for querying user profiles. So before going further in the demo, I can maybe show you, for those who might not know OData, you can visit odata.org to see a bit what's behind OData. But actually, you have a lot of URI conventions, and so OData is mainly, let's say, based on RESTful services, meaning that you can actually use a lot of query filters, let's say, in the query string, and so that's quite powerful. And that piece of work is done by SharePoint itself. So OData is not, of course, a SharePoint-specific product. It's a protocol that is also implemented in SharePoint. But the built-in data factory of SharePoint makes it easy to use OData within SharePoint. So it's already used, actually, out of the box with the leastdata.svc, the, let's say, the new web service. Not that new anymore, but that is actually already using OData behind the scenes. So the goal of the demo here is to see how you can make a custom web service that is actually implemented a bit the same way than leastdata.svc, but to query cache, so the cache instead of querying the SharePoint list. So let's go to the demo first. I created two pages with two components. The first component is a component that shows me randomly some colleagues. So if I refresh the page, I'll have different colleagues here shown. I can just refresh it there. You see already that's pretty fast. So I don't know if I showed you, but I have 10,000 profiles in my system. So it's quite a reasonable amount of profile. And so you see it's pretty fast. So already when you see that, you can imagine that you could never reach that kind of rapidity, let's say, with the built-in, or with the SharePoint search, for instance, or by trying to really access the user profile store. So that's one of the let's say the feature you can have easily with that kind of web service. I'll show you how later. And for instance, another feature that is actually part of that, the same web part and part of the demo, is that when you start typing, you can see, it's very immediate. You can see a list of colleagues that are actually who have BR in their last name or first name. And you see that it's even including the notion of social distance. I'll try to explain you how I did that. And you see that social distance, so it will search near colleagues, and for instance, you can put the conditions you want, but for instance, in that case, it's people who added you as a colleague or people who are in the same department than you. And but you could decide to choose entire network, and then you see it shows everything. So you see it's pretty fast. If I take, I created a lot of dummy users. So for instance, if I take entire network here, you see that I've got 1,001 users who are called users something. And you see that it was very fast to give me the answer. And I have paging here, you see, so it's going from 20 to 30, from 30 to 40, and so on. It's again very, very fast. So that's the big benefit. That's why I wanted to show you first kind of application, and then so that you see what is the interest before diving into the code. Let's go to another demo, which is an advanced search, let's say, page on user profile. So here I just put a few properties. And so I can say, for instance, give me all the user profiles who have whose the last name start with A, or the last name, let's say, starts with B. So I will make a starts with, and then I can hit search, and then you see I have the results. It's again also pretty fast. So let's add, for instance, a third condition to have paging here. So to say start with C, I can make search. You see, it's also very, very fast. So to have the results, and that is not bad. I can, for instance, let's make another query. Say I will take all the people whose the department is, and then I put executive, for instance. You see, I also have autocomplete for some properties. So here in that example, I only implemented autocomplete for department and job title, but it really lists you all the values that are within the user profiles. So for sure you will not have a department that is not referenced in at least one user profile. So you see it's pretty fast, and it helps people to find better results, let's say. So I could say, for instance, I could say job title equals, I don't know, maybe do we have engineer or something that would make sense for that department. So, and let's hit search. So okay, here there is no result, but so you've understood the principle. You see how many operators I have here. It's actually all the supported operators from OData, and there are also some functions, string functions that are not here, but at least you have the main, the most important operators, and you can build a query dynamically with AND and OR. So now that you've seen a bit what kind of applications you can do with that is very fast. Let's go to see how it has been built. So coming to the code directly. So okay, let me clean a bit some. Okay, so the services class is that class here. So when you actually build a neo.net data service, actually it's like any ADO.NET data service. So there is nothing specific in that part for SharePoint. So you have actually to build a class, make it derive from data service, and pass, let's say, the context, which I will show you in a moment. Here, this part here just says, okay, I wanna expose all my operations here and all the entities in read. Something I've not shown you, I should show you that maybe first. It will be more clear afterwards. If I go to this page, you see that this is actually my endpoint for my web service, and I implemented user profiles and other methods I will show you after. And then you see here I just made a query with last name equal my name. Yeah, I don't want to return everything, because with 10,000 profiles the browser would take ages to load everything in the content. But to see the principle, so if I say I just come here, you see that I have actually three methods. As I told you, it's a bit similar to listData.svc. Of course, it's less advanced here. It's just targeting user profiles and read-only, not read-write, but the principle is the same. So you see here, you can just call indeed the user profiles, and then say, for instance, that you want to just take the first 10 records. You see, it's just returning the first 10 records. And in the subset, actually, you have here, it's the important part is the end properties. You have all the properties you wanted to get out of the user profile in that case. So here that class here shows, actually says, okay, just make all my methods available in reading to everybody. Okay, so that's the first thing. Then it actually takes data context. Let's go to data context. Data context is actually where I have my method implemented. So remember, I had user profiles, department, job title. So user profiles, what does it do? It will just take all the user profiles out of the cache. I will not go into the cache stuff, so you will look it as you will look at it yourself in the when downloading the source code, because it's not very complicated, but it would take too long to explain here in the video. But basically, what it does is just take the profiles out of the cache. If there is nothing in the cache, then it performs a SharePoint search query on the people scope, take all the profiles with the properties I need, and then saves it in the cache. Here in the example, I think I've hard coded to stay in the cache, let's say 10 minutes, but that's of course demo code, so you can change that as you want. But what is important to remember here is that in the data context, and that's the more specific already to SharePoint, is that what I return is an iQueryable, let's say, collection of user profile objects. And usually, when you'll see examples on OData services, you'll see that it's most of the times coupled with Entity Framework, and Entity Framework behind as a database. Here, I don't have a database. I'm querying the cache, so I don't want to deal, let's say, with a database, so I didn't work with Entity Framework. But so the only thing you need to remember, if you don't want to work with Entity Framework, is and then with the database and so on, is just that you have to return an iQueryable list of objects to OData. Then behind the scenes, the OData layer, let's say, will actually get all the user profiles from the cache in that case, and will apply the filters and so on itself. So all that complex part actually is handled by the factory itself. So that's the big advantage. The two other methods are just for, let's say, the autocomplete in the search center on department and job title, because OData unfortunately doesn't support group by operations. So actually, I made two extra methods and implemented group by in those methods server side. So that's a kind of tip I used to work around that limitation. There are APIs to extend OData, but okay, don't want to make it more complex. So okay, so that's one part. Maybe it's still part of the service, it's the entity itself. So in that case, I created, let's say, an entity called user profile object. This is actually deriving from my let's say, caching system. So I'll not dive into that. But basically, what you have to remember here is that here we've got a data service key. So this is let's say mandatory, so that OData knows what is the primary key of your entity. In that case, I created one that I call ID, that I just it's just an increment, and all the other properties are just data members. That's it. So and here, what I did was just to let's say, yeah, here it's indeed how it constricts the data. So here, when it comes to here, it means that the data does not live in the cache, and then it makes a search query, as I told you, and it takes and it returns all the results. By the way, I just noticed that here you see 20,000. That's something I will probably remove to 2,000 or something, because maximum limit of search is 10,000. So if you want to try that, I think I will just change that in the source code, otherwise it will crash on your system if the maximum limit hasn't been extended. But okay, that's another story. I'll try to change it. And then that's it. So now, what is really specific to SharePoint, it's only the SVC file. So what you have to do, so you have created your service class, your data context class, and then your entity, in that case only one. Now, the really specific things you have to do to SharePoint is to build the SVC and to deploy it in the XAPI folder. So you just need to create, to map a folder to XAPI, and then just give it a name as you want, just SVC. And then you just say that the factory you want to use is that. So that's the most important part, actually. You see, it's the data service host factory. And this is that factory that will really, behind the scenes, make the OData work for you. So that's about it, let's say. And then for the consuming part, because here it's just a service, as you've seen, and the service can be queried like that. So you can consume it either server side by just adding a reference to the service. So just take the SVC URL, so to the endpoint, and you add the reference. Visual Studio will build the proxy, as you would just do with list data SVC. Or you can just actually build that kind of queries with jQuery, for instance, JavaScript, Ajax, whatever framework you want to use, and actually make asynchronous calls via Ajax, get the results, and then parse the results. And this is actually what is done in the demo. So if I just go back to the page, what's here? So here, actually, I put that in the SharePoint web part because it's a SharePoint demo, but that part here could be completely done in the HTML page. And I will just show you a bit how it works. So I've got a page here. Let me close. Let's say that I can close, that I can close. So this is JavaScript, but I will first go to the page. Where is that page? Okay, it's there. It's a user control. So it's a web part, visual web part user control. And if I go into that user control, the only thing I do is to build, let's say, the static part of the page, which is the first line. And then I'm just referencing my some jQuery script, as you can see here. And then the people search, let's say, JavaScript file and some jQuery CSS. So if I go to the JavaScript file itself, what do I have here? How do I interact with the web service? Quite easy. Just make Ajax calls. So if I just go to SVC current document. Okay, this is one example. So let's maybe take the other one. So here I've got a search function, which actually will hit the endpoint of my service and then just give the operation name. So in that case, it's user profiles. I'm taking top and skip are used for paging. It's just all data parameters that you can use in your URLs. And inline count is quite interesting, that one, because it will return the number of results you have. So say you make a top, so you wanna let's say show pages 10 by 10 items, but actually the full result set is 1,000, then it will show that it's 1,000. Okay, even if you only return 10. Let's say 10 results for paging. And then it's just jQuery, so an Ajax call. I say that I receive everything in JSON, and then you've got the success and the error handler. And here I'm just treating the results with jQuery by appending some rows and cells dynamically. That's the only thing you have to really pay attention to. Then there is a small logic for paging and those kind of things, but it's not very important to detail that here. So what you have to see is just that you have data.d.results, and then you actually fetch all the results data set, and then you add everything. That's it. So it's pure JavaScript here. So again, you have nothing to do. And if you really want to, you could also do everything server-side, of course, but then it's not Ajax anymore, but just by the reference. And if you add the reference to your project, then it's actually your proxy that will build all those URLs for you. So then if you don't know the, let's say, the conventions, or you don't wanna be bothered by that, just doing with server-side stuff would do it for you. So, okay, maybe a last thing so that you really see that it's working like that. If I'm starting Fiddler, so just to show you that it's, if I make indeed a query like last name, say starts with E, search, yeah, with Fiddler, for some reason it's a bit slower. Yeah, I think it's not. Also, do I have filters? Yes. I would just put a filter to say it should contain only SVC. Okay, I will just refresh the page. Okay, and then say start with E. Okay, so here you see this is what has been sent actually to the service. So it's just an Ajax call sending that URL, and if I just go to the, if I examine it, you'll see that it's that URL that has been actually sent. So it's user profile, top 50, just to say take the first 50, skip 0 because it's the first page in that case. I want to have the number of results, and I just say that the filter is start with two lower last name, so which last name is the name of the column, and then the value that was typed, and that's it. And then I've got the response here. If I just put it in row decode, I asked to have the response in JSON. However, JSON is not supported by all the browsers, and even the example you can download is actually has been tested on IE9 and Firefox and Chrome. It's working fine, but with IE8 I think it didn't work well. So and it was partly due to JSON, so you might need to download extra libraries, or you can just request another data type, which is ATOM. So and then it will just return not JSON but ATOM XML, so results. But then you have to parse them differently in the result set. Okay, so I think that's about it. Thanks for having attended. Bye.